So this past week, as many of you are aware, it was Remembrance Day, a time when many people remember, take time to remember those who fought in the world wars, as well as the many subsequent wars. And it's out of respect of those who fought for freedoms. And we also remember because we don't want or shouldn't desire war, of course. We should. We desire to see peace in this world. Now, unfortunately, that we know that that won't be the immediate effect here, because wars will increase. But I believe, as believers, we should learn from the mistakes of the past. There's the common maxim that states those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and I think that is quite true in many many accounts. But while those who didn't engage in war, we remember those who fought. I can't help but think the many that do or have fought in war do everything to forget because of the horrors of war and the atrocities, the terrible things that happen or they may engage in. Now, this morning's devotion isn't on war. I only bring that up as it was Remembrance Day. This devotion is on remembrance. And if you want to turn ahead to Psalm 25, in verses 4 to 8, we will read of God's merciful remembrance. What God remembers and what God does not remember. Now, God has designed us with a very powerful tool, that is memory. Memory, like all tools, can be used for good or can be used for evil. We can store up good memories, create good memories. We can also store up evil in our minds and, of course, act out of that evil. But in both good and evil, memory is primarily used for learning. We learn from our mistakes, or we ought to at least, and we learn to do good from the examples of others. Both of these would be impossible without memory to access. Without memory, every instance would be a novel experience. You would have nothing to access to build off of. And so you would never be learning. You would be constantly experiencing new experiences. So remembrance is important. God uses it in the believer to prompt us to holier living, to shun our evils that we once committed, and to learn from him to seek good, to seek his goodness for tomorrow. But what does the Bible reveal about how God exercises remembrance? Well, the Bible clearly states that God is all-knowing. Both things that are revealed and things that are hidden, he knows it all. Psalm 139, verse 4 says, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." And Psalm 44, verse 21 states, "For he knows the secrets of the heart." So there's nothing that's left unknown to God. He knows it all, and it's not that he forgets. He's not like you and I, that our memories fail and we forget. But here's a wonderful truth which should comfort us who trust in the Lord. Although the Lord God knows all, he can choose to not remember in the sense that he does not act upon that knowledge, especially when it's been dealt with already. We see that evident here in Psalm 25 as King David cried out to the Lord, as he often did, heart poured out to God, and he sought the mercy of God in remembrance of his loving kindness. Psalm 25 and verse 4, reading down to verse 8, and take note of verse 6 and 7 especially. Verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou, Lord, me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teach sinners in the way." And so out of remembrance, we see learning, teaching. Twice David petitions to God to remember out of his mercy, to remember his loving kindness and goodness. And I think that is for a very specific reason. Only here does David once ask the Lord to not remember, and that not to remember his sins. Throughout Scripture, God is always willing and ready to bless doubly the repentant sinner, the faithful servant. He promised a double blessing to Israel in Zechariah 9, verse 12. He repaid double to faithful Job in Job 42, verse 10. And in the New Testament, Jesus, speaking through the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, speaks of a double portion to the faithful servant. And so I think it's fitting that twice it is mentioned of God remembering to pay good to those who love him and trust in him. God is desiring to give us good gifts. And only one time does David have to ask God to remember not his sins, because it only needs to be asked once, if it's in sincerity. How often we cry out to God to forgive us of the same sin over and over and over again. But if we have truly brought this sin before the Lord with a repentant heart, he deals with it there and then, once and for all. It is Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who constantly tries to bring this back to our minds of past sin, which has been dealt with, ultimately dealt with on the cross when we come to the Lord. If we truly have confidence in the finished work of Jesus on the cross for our salvation, then we should be confident God forgive us of all sin when we cry out to him in humility. To Israel and all who would enter into this new covenant with God, God declared in Hebrews 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And again in Hebrews 10, verse 17, it states, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Lastly, we read out of the Psalms how God, who knows all, can choose to not remember the sin that has been forgiven because it's been dealt with. And we read of that in Psalm 103, a very commonly known verse, in verse 12, but I'd like to read a few verses before to give context. Psalm 103, starting in verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And that is key, that those who fear him or love him or revere him. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So although God is all-knowing, he is able to remember not the sins of the repentant because they were dealt with by his son on the cross, paid in full. And so God does not remember the sins because he remembers the righteous act of his son in our stead. Additionally, God is also able to remember his children's work on earth and will reward generously as he sees fit. So while memory may be a curse when we constantly hold on to bad memories or that which is not productive, it can also be a great motivator in our growth as followers of Christ. We can recall the many times God has answered prayer or done good in our lives, been more than faithful. And so we can learn from that and be trusting in the promises, even of the promise that we read here on the top of the bulletin of a home that is prepared for those who love him. We can be confident in that promise because God no longer remembers the sins of those who fear and love him. We no longer need to be imprisoned by them, but be encouraged, as Paul wrote, to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. He pressed on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us not forget our wonderful Savior, for he remembers our sin no more when we come to him.